You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hello again, my friends, and welcome to the Political Cesspool radio program. Saturday evening, May 10th, we are live in the studio tonight in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship. I'm your host, James Edwards, and it is great to have you with us tonight, no matter how you may be tuning in to our award-winning broadcast, whether it be here on the local AM dial or via any of the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, our terrestrial units in select markets across the United States of America. Perhaps you're listening online at thepoliticalcesspool.org or Liberty News Radio, libertyroundtable.com. You might even be listening via telephone. Don't forget, folks, if you have a phone, you have a radio. All you have to do is just dial 712-432-5339. That's 712-432-5339. And you can listen to the Political Cesspool or any Liberty Roundtable, Liberty News Radio Network programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the phone. You can't beat that. There is no reason, no excuse whatsoever not to listen to this show. Our network brass makes it available to you by any and all means necessary. And of course, if you miss a live show, you can always pick up the show after the fact in the broadcast archives, which stretch way back 10 years now. Can you believe it? To 2004. I was actually talking to a gentleman just about 5 minutes before showtime tonight, couple actually in Idaho that never miss a show, and he was sharing with me that either he listens live or downloads it and then plays it in his pickup truck or in his camper as he and his wife travel the great Northwest up there in Idaho. And no matter where you're at tonight, we're happy to have you. We're gonna have a big show tonight, getting back down to normal, I guess. We're going to really be covering a lot of ground tonight, a lot of news stories. You know, sometimes a story just has to feel right. I get stories sent to me. Some of them just scream, please, please talk about me on the show. And every now and then you get a handful of stories you want to cover in any given week, any given weekly broadcast. Tonight we've got about 25. It's just been one of those weeks where everything that came through to me seemed like something that I think you might enjoy. So we're going to be light on guests tonight, but heavy on content. Keith Alexander back in the studio after a short 2-week hiatus for a vacation. And then last week he was attending a personal function. So we're happy to have Keith back, and he's got some stories he's plucked from the commercial appeal. And anytime Keith goes 2 weeks without being on the show, which is never, we certainly want to give him first crack at the topics for the evening to set the agenda. So, Keith, first of all, welcome back after 2 weeks on the road, and happy to have you with you, sir. I'm happy you can see me, sir.
Well, I'm happy I can see you too, James. We're going to return to our paper articles and commenting on them, giving you the rebuttal that you never get in the normal mainstream news media. You never get the other side of a story, only the liberal side, and we're going to give you the conservative side on these particular stories. Three of them. First of all, there are two Supreme Court decisions that have come down recently, one on affirmative action and another one on prayer in public places that, of course, our local newspaper excoriated the Supreme Court because they actually came down on the conservative side on both of these decisions. Then there was an article in our newspaper about the whether they should close or not close the Thomas H. Allen Steam Plant, which is a coal-fired power generating plant that generates most of the power for the Memphis area. And, of course, the reason that this is a topic is because the EPA is considering whether or not to close it. This being Obama's EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, I think it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to vote to close it. And why would they want to close it? Because of one of those shibboleths of the left, environmentalism. They think that environmentalism requires that we abandon fossil fuels and all of the benefits that we've gotten from fossil fuels for the last couple of centuries and replace it with wind or solar energy or something like this. And the upshot is going to be a much more expensive utility bill for Memphians, many of whom can't afford the utility bills they get now. Now, James, how much time do we have before we have our first break? Okay. Well, let's talk first about the affirmative action case. The affirmative action case, and I had to look through several articles before any of the articles in the commercial appeal mentioned the name, but it's Schuette, S-C-H-U-E-T-T-E, versus Coalition to Defend Affirmative Action. And the issue before the Supreme Court was the constitutionality of the Michigan Civil Rights Referendum, in which the people of Michigan voted back in the early 2000s to outlaw affirmative action in their public universities and also in their government. There would be no mandated minority set-asides for contracting, for example. And furthermore, there was not going to be any affirmative action to help racial minorities get into the University of Michigan and other state schools. Now, keep in mind that affirmative action by private colleges and universities and private business enterprises was totally untouched. This only affected the public sector. But, of course, the left was in high dudgeon. This case finally made it to the U.S. Supreme Court. And surprisingly enough, John Roberts and company, by a 5-4 decision, voted that affirmative action can be outlawed by a referendum and that the referendum and its results would stand. What did Justice Roberts say that was so controversial? Well, what he said was the best way to end racial discrimination is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. That sounds very innocuous to me. It sounds like a principle that almost everybody could embrace. But we have two articles in the Memphis Commercial Appeal, one in particular, which was from the Sunday, April 27th Commercial Appeal by one of our local writers, one Otis Sanford, who said, "The Supreme Court takes the cowardly way out." I'd have to take issue with Mr. Sanford. I'd say that the Supreme Court took the courageous way out, because the cowardly way out would be to follow the dominant culture in America today, which is liberalism. As Pat Buchanan has said before, the counterculture of the 60s is the dominant culture of America today, and the dominant culture of America in the 50s and 60s is a dissident culture. Well, apparently the Supreme Court has said 40 plus years of affirmative action is enough, we don't need it, and states can take steps to outlaw it. We'll get into this a little more deeply after these words from our sponsors.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards and Keith Alexander in the studio tonight as you listen to the Political Cesspool, our award-winning paleoconservative talk radio program. Keith has been on the road and out of pocket for the last 2 weeks, very rare indeed over the course of his many years as my lead co-host, and he's back with us tonight. So this first hour, we are top heavy on Keith Alexander. I'm sure that is to everyone's satisfaction. So Keith, remind everybody what you opened with in the first segment and continue on.
Well, what I started out with was a commentary piece on the Shoot versus Coalition in Defense of Affirmative Action case that came before the Supreme Court, and the decision was handed down basically in April. And of course, this is the same Supreme Court that, according to the left, is the most venerable institution in the entire federal government. The guardian, the repository of wisdom, the guardian of our rights, and the one that could be depended upon to come out with the right, albeit it's always the liberal decision. Now, suddenly, the Supreme Court is a ship of fools, according to Otis Sanford, because they actually came down with a conservative decision. In fact, not one, but two in this last spate of decisions that came down. Now, let me read some of Sanford's article. He says, this was in the Sunday, April 27th, 2014, Viewpoint section, first page. Supreme Court takes cowardly way out. Okay. And I would take issue with that characterization, but here's what he said. Here's what Otis Sanford said. He said, "For most of the last 20 years of my newspaper career, I was either directly or indirectly involved in the recruiting and hiring of newsroom staff. When I was employed full-time at this newspaper, I spent much of my time searching for capable reporters, copy editors, photographers, supervising editors, and summer interns. And I readily acknowledge here and now that I used race as one of several factors when making many of these hiring decisions, particularly among interns. Anti-affirmative action folks, come and get me. My reasoning was simple and logical. Memphis, if you hadn't noticed, is a racially diverse city, as is Detroit, where I had previously worked. And I wanted a racially diverse newsroom. I took to heart the 1968 Kerner Commission findings that included a stinging indictment of the news media. the journalistic profession has been shockingly backward in seeking out, hiring, training, and promoting African Americans. Of course, not every minority candidate who was capable enough to be a finalist got the job. But when all qualifications and personal presentment were equal, I made hiring decisions that helped to grow a diverse staff and remove old vestiges of discrimination. So I take this opportunity to say thanks to U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who was on the losing side of an important affirmative action case decided by the court last week. The court, in essence, ruled that voters can put an end to any race-based considerations for admissions to colleges and universities. Michigan voters in 2006 overwhelmingly passed a referendum banning race and sex as factors when deciding admissions to the University of Michigan. Since that vote, enrollment of African Americans has dropped significantly. A majority of the justices said that's fine, but not Sotomayor. She knows full well that voters can't always be trusted to make constitutionally sound decisions on issues that could adversely impact the rights of certain groups, particularly minorities. Imagine the outcome if the admission of James Meredith to Ole Miss in 1962 had been put to a popular vote. Okay, you get the drift. Suddenly, the Supreme Court, which since the Brown decision has been the repository of all wisdom, the most venerable institution in the federal government, is now a ship of fools because they dared to come down on the conservative side of a ledger on one of the key pet issues of the left. Whatever happened to Martin Luther King's comment that he wanted his daughters to be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin? Well, apparently that was passed over. Now, I have the advantage of having lived through the Civil Rights Movement, so I know the way that it was sold to the American public. It was sold to the American public on the assumption that it was going to end racial discrimination, not replace one type of racial discrimination with another type. If people had thought that was going to be the result of it, the 1964 Civil Rights Act would never have passed. If you read the actual language of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which I have, you will see that it outlaws racial discrimination, period, end of sentence. It does not say that some types of racial discrimination are okay and others are not. That is a result of the bureaucracy that was formed by the 1964 Civil Rights Act, specifically the EEOC or the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Finally, it seems that the Supreme Court is striking a blow for the plain language of the 64 Civil Rights Act and common sense. And, of course, liberals can't abide either one of those. Neither can Democrats. So, this is what you get. You get this time of mocking, scolding, tut-tutting by the leftist media here in Memphis and elsewhere. Whenever conservatives make any gains whatsoever and conservatism gets expressed either by the Supreme Court or in the legislature, they just won't abide it. They have this same totalitarian outlook that they've had throughout my lifetime, that anyone who dares challenge liberal orthodoxy is some type of boob or moron. Now, that was the first big decision. The second big decision involved Greece, New York, and a public prayer that was said to open a public meeting, like a meeting of the town council. Ruth Marcus, in the Thursday, May the 8th, 2014 viewpoint section of the Commercial Appeal, has an article on this saying how the high court got it wrong. Okay, again, these people, these liberal media types, are the repository of all wisdom. They sit on high like Zeus on Olympus, and they question the judgment of the Supreme Court. This is the same Supreme Court that could do no wrong for the past 5 or 6 decades in American life. Here's what she says. The genius of the Constitution is to establish zones in which the rights of the minority are protected against majority oppression. Freedom of speech and religion, for example, or equal protection under the law. The role of the Supreme Court is, to borrow Chief Justice John Roberts' metaphor, to umpire the play within those zones, calling fouls on the majority when it oversteps. There are occasions when the umpire's call, no matter how well intentioned, is influenced, distorted even, by pre-existing assumptions and biases. The current Supreme Court term offers painful examples of the phenomenon in two recent cases, one upholding Michigan's ban of affirmative action, the other just this week upholding a sectarian prayer at local government meetings. The majority of those very different cases got it wrong, yet for a similar reason. The justices simply failed to understand the situation from the perspective of those who had themselves, by dint of race or religion, found themselves to be in the minority. Let's start with the newest case about the town of Greece, New York, and its practice of beginning board meetings with a prayer, specifically and almost always a prayer by a Christian minister, often explicitly sectarian. We acknowledge the saving sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, one guest chaplain said. We draw strength, vitality, and confidence from his resurrection at Easter. We'll get back to this article and more commentary on it after these words from our sponsor.
The land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards here. Yes, I am here. Although Keith Alexander is the one holding court in this, our first hour of tonight's live broadcast. Keith, back in the studio tonight after a very rare two-week absence. And if you will, Keith this evening is Mount Vesuvius. The radio station is Pompeii. And that's how it's going this first hour. He's got some good stuff for us, though. And we're going to let Keith continue in his presentation. Coming up in the second and third hour, folks, we are going to do rapid fire, the likes of which you haven't seen or heard, I guess I should say, in a while on this show. Lots of stories that have caught my attention, and Keith and I will be examining and exploring them together, offering to you our very unique opinion, commentary, and analysis. So the hits are just going to keep on coming tonight, folks, here on the Political Cesspool. Keith, remind the folks what we're talking about.
Talking about two recent Supreme Court decisions by the Roberts Court, 5-4 decision, showing you just how tenuous the grasp of common sense is in this present Supreme Court. But this is an improvement over past Supreme Courts, certainly, because we have actually gotten a couple of conservative decisions. And of course, the mainstream media is piling on, reminding everybody what complete and colossal boobs the Supreme Court majority is, because let's face it, they're not liberals. And if they're not liberals, they can't be smart people, right? Let's get back to this article by Ruth Marcus. She said, being asked to bow your head and pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord feels like no big deal to Kennedy and company. It does to me. Of course, Ms. Marcus is Jewish. But on the other hand, the Supreme Court did say that if there was a prayer that pronounced eternal damnation or damnation on non-believers by a Christian minister, or attempted to proselytize, for example, they had an altar call at this prayer, that that would cross the line. So I think that common sense has been served by this decision involving the town of Greece, New York. Finally, we have common sense being served. Prayers at the beginning of football games, basketball games, city council meetings, things like this are innocuous, but why are we taking up time with the Supreme Court for things like this? We're doing it because of what has often been called the heckler's veto. One sorehead per town is enough to cause the ACLU to get the foothold it needs to bring a case like this before the Supreme Court, and basically thumb its nose at the wishes of the vast majority of Americans who find nothing objectionable about having a prayer like this at a football game, at a basketball game, or at a town council meeting. Now, if you read not only the Commercial Appeal, but almost every major daily newspaper in America, you would think that the sky had fallen because these two opinions came down. Finally, we have a Supreme Court that recognizes that affirmative action is racial discrimination, and racial discrimination is prohibited by the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and it's perfectly all right for a state in a referendum, direct democracy by the voters of the state, to say that we want to put an end to official racial discrimination, also known as affirmative action. This is common sense. This is what most people see affirmative action to be, which is racial discrimination. We've had 49 years of it. It started in the Nixon administration. It is carried on. It is now part of the culture of our corporations and of our government. And that's why it's necessary to have things like this Michigan Civil Rights Initiative to set the balance straight and to allow the interpretation of the 1964 Civil Rights Act according to its plain language, not according to the interpretation put on it by the EEOC and by corporate America of today. Now, that takes us to the last story that I'd gleaned from the pages of the Commercial Appeal in the past several weeks, and that was articles that were not so subtly favoring the closing of the Thomas H. Allen Steam Plant in Memphis, which generates most of the electrical power that we have in the city of Memphis. Why is the Thomas H. Allen plant in the crosshairs? It's in the crosshairs because it is a power plant fueled by coal. Why is coal bad? Well, it's bad because it's a fossil fuel. And environmentalists, which is another variety of liberal, feel that fossil fuels add to pollution, add to methane, add to greenhouse gases, and that we need, and also pollution, and that therefore we need to do away with them. What are the practical consequences of doing that? Well, we have a superabundance of coal in the United States. We have enough coal to last us for thousands of years. And it's cheap, and it's easily accessible in the United States. And with fracking technology, we now have a superabundance of petroleum in America, too. Unfortunately for the rest of us, petroleum is also a fossil fuel, so the left wants to shut that down as well. Why do they want to make life more troublesome and more expensive for the average American citizen or the average citizen of Memphis, Tennessee? Memphis, Tennessee has a large poverty segment of the population, impoverished. And because of that, they could use every break they could. Believe me, the biggest blessing that I can think of that you could give the people of Memphis would be $2 a gallon gasoline, followed by about, well, utility bills are about half of what they are now. That would help everybody, no particular segment of the Memphis population, and it would be a godsend to them. But you find the left thrusting itself directly in the path of this, saying, no, you're going to have to do it the expensive way. You see now why people are coming to their senses and saying liberalism is a terrible idea. We don't want liberalism. Liberalism is the modern face of evil, actually, in America today. It is causing us to lose our position of power and prominence in the world. It is causing us to pay more and get less and to slip away from being a first world nation. We need to stand up to the forces of liberalism and say enough is enough. I have a white car. I come out every morning. I don't see any coal dust on it coming from the Thomas H. Allen steam plant. Neither does anyone else. All of this so-called pollution is a bunch of flapdoodle. The people of Memphis need cheaper power and cheaper gasoline, not more expensive power and more expensive gasoline. That's what the Thomas H. Allen steam plant flap is all about. It's like global warming. If we have global warming, you can't tell it from the last winter we've had here in Memphis. You can't tell it from, climate records anywhere in the world. But the left treats anyone who questions it as if you are a boob, a congenital idiot. Now, James, give me your thoughts on these things. What do you think about the Thomas H. Allen steam plant? Do you think it ought to be closed down?
Well, Keith, let me tell you first, I'm fielding emails for you right now, and one coming in from Bill in Kentucky. Bill in Kentucky is actually in Washington, D.C. tonight as he listens to the show, and he visited 17 different embassies today. Okay. And so this is one of our listeners. He's just going around. He's seeing the world in an afternoon. But nevertheless, he said, you are on fire tonight. I guess that was in reference to my Mount Vesuvius description, and to keep giving them hell. So I told him I would share that with you, and here I am sharing it with you on the radio. I also heard you say the word idiot, and you know that is a word that has been banned. You can't say idiot anymore. In fact,
except when you're describing a conservative,
idiot was actually replaced by the word retarded because idiot was too offensive. Retarded. And then retarded has now become also taboo to say. There's actually a movement afoot to ban the word retarded. We talked about this on the website earlier, even though as a textbook definition, it is entirely appropriate. But you know, euphemisms. And but this is what Orwellianism is all about, and what political correctness is all about. It's that, you know, words don't mean what they mean anymore. It's just, you know, all terms are used to. You know what I'm getting at. I see you reaching for the mic, so I'll let you fill in the blank.
What it is, it's political correctness is showing its muscle, flexing its muscles at the rest of us, telling us they can control not only what we say, but what we think. And they're in total charge of our world. These are liberals that are supposed to be the benevolent souls. They're actually the totalitarians of the world, trying to boss the rest of us around.
Keith's so popular and famous, he's getting a phone call even while we're going to commercial break. We'll let him take that call, folks, and we'll be back with much more tonight. If you can believe it, we're just getting warmed up.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. Keith Alexander getting in his therapy. And I'm telling you, the emails and both of our phones just going berserk here in the first hour of tonight's live broadcast. People really devouring the red meat that Keith is serving up tonight. He's serving it up raw on the political cesspool from all over the nation and all over the world. And it's great to have Keith back. Am I right, everybody? This is the first time in 3 weeks he's been in. And that never happens. And he is making up for lost time, to say the least. And Keith, I was thinking during the commercial break, one of the We were examining two recent Supreme Court decisions favoring conservatives. You were in that first hour, one supporting Michigan's ban on affirmative action and the other confirming the right of public prayer at government meetings. And as we were saying during the break, you should rightly say, well, no big deal. You know, it shows how far America's fallen to where we would rightly take something like this for granted, that you could open up a meeting in a government facility with a prayer. But now we consider that to be a victory. A monumental victory. And I'm telling you, it's getting worse in many ways, folks. I think ordinary people, grassroots Americans, are certainly coming over to our way of thinking more and more. But the people controlling the levers of power in our different institutions are going more hardcore to the left and trying to flex their muscles with more vigor. Talking about Christianity itself, I saw where there is a group that has raised money to put a statue, a Satanist statue with a pentagram and the man with the goat's head, next to a public building in Oklahoma where the Ten Commandments are featured. And this is something that the news has been picking up on. So, and at Harvard, they actually had a satanic worship service at Harvard University, which was started out as, I believe, a Baptist seminary. Well, wasn't it Baptist? I mean, Harvard University itself was actually a theological school at its inception. So it's, you know, things are moving here in this country, and depending on whether you're with, you know, one of the populists, it could be moving in the right direction. I think the people are waking up more and more, and this show is facilitating that renaissance each and every week. But on the other hand, they're moving at a breakneck speed in academia, in the media, in government, to take away the last vestiges of our cultural heritage and freedom. And we're going to be talking about some of those things in the next hour. The radical homosexual agenda is another example from which we could draw. Two men have lost their jobs, lost their television show. You know, you remember the Duck Dynasty flap? Well, two Christians that had a show on HGTV have lost their position because they are pro-life, and radical abortion advocates complained to HGTV that these two people were on. And for being no more controversial, the only thing they'd ever spoken out on politically, to my knowledge, was the right to life issue. And they've lost their show because that now is being declared to be too extreme for public consumption if you're an outspoken advocate of preserving the life of unborn children and for trying to advocate against the murder of our children. You know, now you are an extremist as well. The line continues to be redrawn. We'll talk more about that in the second hour. All of that and more forthcoming still on tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. But let's go now directly to Peter Scoop Stanton, who, like Keith Alexander, is loaded for bear. Scoop, what do you have for us?
Good evening, James, Keith, and the rest of the Cesspool family. Well, it's been a rough week for the Stanton family. My father-in-law became seriously ill. They put him on a respirator, and they put him in ICU. And thank God that he's off the respirator and he is recovering quickly. So I ask all the Cesspool listeners for all your thoughts and prayers for my father-in-law. But while I'm sitting in the hospital, I got an up-close and personal look on the state of the American healthcare system. Mind you, my father-in-law has very good insurance through my mother-in-law's employer, and we were in one of the best hospitals in the Washington metropolitan area. But as he was laying in the hospital bed twitching and the doctor's trying to get some oxygen into his lungs, it was amateur hour. I have never seen so many residents working on a critical care unit's floor in my entire life. And my family's asking, doctor, what's wrong with him? What are you going to do? What can we do? And every single doctor, this is not a joke or trying to make a point, said, we don't know. But we're going to find out everything that we can find out what's wrong with him, and then we're going to take it from there. So, needless to say, the American healthcare system is in trouble. And here's a couple reasons. First, you got the ambulance chasing lawyers. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, your lawyer down the street that you use for real estate wills and things like that. I'm talking those guys advertise on daytime television in between Maury and Jerry Springer, saying sue everybody because you can't take care of yourself. So when they sue the doctors, the hospitals, the insurance companies, the car manufacturers, guess who pays? We pay. Secondly, you got the pharmaceutical industry. They're pushing all sorts of new medications to the doctors. Those selling hard narcotics such as marijuana, cocaine, heroin, they have it all wrong. If you push pills through the medical industry, you're going to be a very rich person. I've never seen so many pills for children my entire life. Now, if there's a certain medication that'll make you healthy, then so be it. Myself, I take a multivitamin a day. But when I was growing up, you never heard about kids taking all these pills for ADD, ADHD, autism, things like that. So I think there might be a correlation. And then on top of that, you have all these doctors taking on too many patients. My wife goes to orthopedic practice, a very good one, and they rush them in, rush them out like a Jiffy Lube. Because, again, they're so backed up with patients that they want the good insurance.
Well, Scoop, this is Keith. You're lucky that she's getting treated by an MD at all. The move under Obamacare is going to be more and more care by paraprofessionals, by nurse practitioners and the like. Doctors are going to be phased out. They're ratcheting down their incomes. That's why they're trying to hustle through their patient load the way they do so they can make the same money. And, of course, because of that, they make some mistakes, which causes medical malpractice. And, of course, they get mad at the lawyers for bringing those suits. But, again, it's all insurance-driven. The insurance industry is telling the doctors that this is what they can get. They don't have any freedom to charge or set their own prices like most business people do. So consequently, they're hustling. They've gotten hooked on a drug called insurance payments. These can either be government insurance like Medicaid or TennCare or Medicare, or it can be actual insurance, particularly employee benefit related insurance, where you get health insurance as part of an employee benefit package. And now, for the longest time, this is what caused doctors to be the richest cats in town for a while, at least. But now the insurance companies are trying to ratchet down their incomes. The doctors, understandably, are trying to maintain their incomes. That's why they're seeing people at such a breakneck pace. And the fact that you had a room full of residents trying to revive your father-in-law rather than a competent doctor in there doing it, I think is going to be a harbinger of things to come, Scoop. I think we're going to see more and more of that under Obamacare as it really starts to take hold.
Right, you're absolutely right. And the biggest thing that of this healthcare mess is your local emergency room. I'm not talking about the one in the middle of the ghetto, or the one out in the sticks, any emergency room in the U.S. When myself, my wife, my daughter needs to go to the emergency room, I dread it because you go in there, any emergency room, including the ones in the wealthy suburban areas, you have nothing but welfare queens, illegal aliens, demanding that they get their health care first. Meanwhile, my daughter has breathing problems. She has to take a back seat despite the fact myself and my wife has good health care. These people think that these emergency rooms are their HMOs. Then speaking of inner cities, you have hospitals like Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. They have a very good trauma unit because these gangbangers are shooting themselves up, and they have no insurance, but they have $2,000 and $100 bills in the front pocket.
You know what? You're exactly right about that, Scoop, and that is also true here in Memphis. The best trauma unit in the city is in the worst part of downtown. It's simply called the Med here, but that's where all the gangbangers go. They got the best trauma unit. And Eddie Miller's out tonight. He's going to a family reunion on his wife's side in Mississippi, or actually he's there right now. The great Bombardier, he could really set the airwaves ablaze talking about this, having been a registered nurse for the last 30 years after he survived Vietnam as a combat medic. But, you know, so you're talking about, as is the case with anything the government touches, it becomes substandard and less efficient once the feds get involved. You're talking about what happens when you actually need to go in for treatment, Scoop, but of course you're punished before that if you're not receiving health care from your employer. If you're someone like me, for instance, who is paying for it. You're paying through the nose. The cost of health care has gotten so ridiculously expensive. And if we had joined Obamacare, we'd be paying more than twice, almost triple the amount of what I pay for a private policy through Blue Cross Blue Shield, and we would be getting less benefits and a twice as high deductible, Keith.
Yeah, and let me say this too. If you go in there without health insurance, they will charge you at a premium rate. You need to ask for the Medicare preferred rate or the insurance preferred rate whenever you go to the doctor and you don't have insurance. Otherwise, they will charge you a stratospheric cost, particularly at these level one trauma units like the Met.
Thank you for your contribution tonight, Scoop. For the rest of you folks, I will be back with Keith Alexander right after this.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.